his friend Martin. They're not brothers, they're not cousins. My little girl wonders all about these men. I take hold of her hand and I begin. Home is where the heart is, no matter how the heart lives. That's where you've got to make yourself at home. Across the yard live Deb and Trisha with their tools and ladders and their room additions. My kid yells over, are you having a baby? They wink and smile, they say, someday, maybe.
Go kids and mommies.
Funny how they don't let the daddies in.
My little girl wanders about this house with no men. I take hold of her hand and I begin.
Home is where the heart is, no matter how your heart lives. Inside your heart where love is, that's where you've got to make yourself at home.
Round the corner, here comes Martha. He's alone now, he tries smiling.
He roams around his well-stocked kitchen. He knows that fate will soon be coming.
My little girl wonders where he will live. I take hold of her hand and I begin. Home is where the heart is, no matter how the heart lives. Inside your heart where love is, that's where you've got to make yourself at home.
Martin sits and waits with his windows open. His house is empty, his heart is broken.
We bring him toys and watercolors. He loves to hear my baby's story. I share, she's his companion, she's a string on his kite, she guides him into the wind. My little girl wonders who will care for him. We take hold of his hand and we begin.
Home is where the heart is, no matter how the heart lives. Inside your heart where love is, that's where you've got to make yourself.
Good morning again. Bueno dia. I am so moved. And forgive me for not starting right away. I just want to take that in and allow that to sink in a little bit more. These hymns this morning are beautiful. Thank you so much. So, once again, my name is Reverend Lane Cobb, and I am an interfaith minister. I received my ordination in 2019 from One Spirit Interfaith Seminary in New York City. I was raised in the Community Unitarian Church at White Plains. I lived for 30 years or so in Baltimore, and I've just recently returned to live with my parents in Tarrytown, New York, in the house I grew up in, as you'll hear a little bit about in my sermon this morning. And I have, until the end of last year, a racial justice, active racial justice platform called Race Talk Revolution. And our videos are on YouTube. And if you would like to see those or share those with some of our brethren who either know a lot about racial justice or know a little and want to learn, they are very shareable. Thank you so much for having me here this morning. It's an honor to be among you in this beautiful historical place of worship. And you may have guessed I'm going to speak with you a little bit about the topic of coming home. And actually, though, I need a Kleenex, so pardon me. I was very moved. I think I was crying a little bit, so now I'm going to blow my nose. So this is... And that's a first. So, thank you. I did something. I did something. Okay. So, home has a lot of different emotional and spiritual connotations for many of us, and we have home as a dwelling place and also as a place of rest. Myself, I've run away from home many, 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 many times, and running from one place to another, and one opportunity to another, one relationship to another, each time thinking that I was headed to a new, better, more improved home, one that had to be better somehow than the one I was leaving. And my own childhood home was very safe, but it wasn't all that happy. It wasn't anybody's fault. I was a difficult child, and we all know difficult children. It's not that I blame anyone. It was just that I perhaps wanted or needed something else. But now, having talked to friends and family and colleagues over the years, I have discovered, of course, that I am not alone in that experience. Dysfunction and conflict, Bob, as we were speaking about this morning, are normal and even necessary to help us grow. For some of us, home is indeed a loving and safe and forgiving place, a place of nurturing, a place remembered fondly with great nostalgia. And for others, home is less than loving, less than safe, less than forgiving. Can I move this? Thank you. But regardless of whether our memories of home are good or bad, they are for sure some of the most impactful. And science reveals, and Bob, you can confirm with me after the service, that much of who we are and what we know about ourselves has already formed by the time we're 7 years old. And if we're not careful, those sweet, tyrannical, mischievous seven-year-olds will make our decisions for us as we make our way forward in life, from relationship to relationship, from job to job, from place to place, from home to home. One of the good things about living a long life is that you've hopefully had sufficient time to make friends with your inner seven-year-old. You know who they are, and you have figured out how to work with them, and you've given them the love that perhaps they didn't get back then. And the home that you have now is the one that you've always wanted, or at least the one that you have created on purpose for yourself. It reflects who you are and has everything that you need to be that person that you wanted to be in life. But no matter how old we get, the seven-year-old will always pull for the warmth of a mother's embrace. So recently, as I said, I had the opportunity to literally come home. My parents are in their 90s, and I have become the designated caregiver. I live with them in the same house I grew up in. And living in my childhood bedroom, I am surrounded by memories, pictures of ancestors, furniture that hasn't been moved in 50 years, a kitchen that was last refurbished when I was a teenager. I sometimes wonder, how did I get here again? This certainly isn't where I thought I was headed. I came home to combat the isolation of COVID, and somehow I got stuck here. Now, again, I know I'm not alone. I'm in my 60s. This is the age that many folks find themselves taking responsibility for their parents' care. Like me, they do their best to navigate career and family in a way that is unfamiliar and uncomfortable and sometimes not altogether welcome. But it is what it is, and we do what we do. For me, I've learned to look at this as an adventure. And while it's not always a positive experience, it is always an experience that I could not have anticipated. And therefore, I think calling it adventure is appropriate. This journey through the circle of life is one that we all share. I'm grateful for the presence of my brother, who lives close by, my sister, who does not, and the network of friends and colleagues who affirm my value at a time when I am trying to be a dutiful daughter and also still stay relevant. Life, for sure, is a circle. We're connected by the people who share our journeys and the landmark events by which we measure our progress. And for introverts like me, our circles are kind of small. But for those bolder folks who have traveled far and wide, their circles are larger. And having said that, either way, we do well to remember the connection that each of us shares with the other, the human circle of life that includes each and every one of us, those we know and those we don't know yet. Several years ago, my then husband and I served as foster parents, and we had several infants in our care, and that was astounding. And then a teenager whose home environment was chaotic and abusive. And she was hopeful. She was talented. She loved to dance and paint, and she was great. She was a great little actress. But she also had a mean disposition. She was full of vitriol, and she was ready to bite the head off of anybody she felt was a threat to her, which was almost everybody. And she was in our custody for 5 years until she aged out of the system at 18, but we kept her on with us for another 2 years. We did our best to support her and safely launch her into the world. And I wouldn't say that we were particularly successful, but we did try. The chaos that she brought to our home was unanticipated, something we had few tools to deal with. My husband retreated to his work, and I became the surrogate mom, stressed to the hilt, trying to raise someone else's wounded child. Some days I felt successful in my motherhood role, and sometimes I didn't. We battled, we made up. I tried to help. She took advantage, you know, normal teenage parent stuff. I questioned my sanity. Why did I do this? But I did the best I could to provide stability for a 14-year-old girl who was at once inspired by her own gifts and also afraid to be who she was. She was ashamed of her past, and she embraced, and she was embarrassed by the abuse that she had encountered. And of course, none of it was her fault. But when we're kids, we take it on as if it is. And she kept returning time after time to the house of her mother, searching for affirmation and belonging. Do you love me now? Am I good enough yet? The truth is that none of us ever stops wanting our mother. We never stop yearning for home. Like my foster daughter, I was talented and ambitious, and I still am talented. I'm not that ambitious, but I'm talented. But I lacked the self-esteem to follow through with my dreams just like she did. So when I became the mother of a troubled teenager, the irony was not really wasted on me. We teach what we want to learn. Walking each other home is part of our spiritual journeys. Helping my foster daughter find her way home was as much for me as it was for her. I left my childhood home rather late, maybe. I didn't go to college until I was 22, and then I came back home at 27, and I left again at 30. Now at 62, I find myself wondering what happened to the last 30 years. I chose to make my life about taking care of other people. I always thought I'd have time to do the things that I really wanted to do, whatever that means. Now I know that we are best served when we choose to love whatever it is that we are doing, even if it isn't what we had planned. Sometimes our reality just doesn't fit our picture of the way life should be, and that can be troublesome. It can also be an invitation for us to explore the reality of what we are looking for and whether we are looking for it in the right place. If you've ever tried to go back and recreate a past experience, you know it really doesn't quite work. As much as we may yearn for home, maybe we really can't go back. In her book, Finding Me, actress Viola Davis quotes a Cherokee blessing, "May you live long enough to discover why you were born." I'm sharing it with you because it's likely that in this distinguished group, you will likely both have discovered your purpose and also be wise enough to know that there is always more for us to discover. For all our trials and striving, we learn that contributing to others is the way that we find our purpose and the meaning for our lives. And if we're lucky, and we are, we find our way into communities of like-minded individuals that share our love of humanity and our commitment to truth and our passion for service. And in many ways, we hope that the home we build with each other is as impactful to us now as our childhood home was to us then. We have all been wounded by life, some more than others. We've also claimed some really great victories. We have left our mark on the world, and we are by no means finished. There is an adage that says, home is where the heart is. When our hearts are well, we feel at home with ourselves, and vice versa. We find belonging in any number of places because we are sure of who we are. We know that we are valuable, and we are empowered by our sense of inner peace. The state of the world, however, suggests that many of our brothers and sisters aren't there with us. They're searching for their way home. Their hearts and minds are troubled. They do not feel wanted or even welcome. They do not feel loved or safe. They are afraid. And these people need our love more than ever. We who feel at home in ourselves, we who enjoy the safety of community, we who evoke the spirit of truth in our prayers of Holy Communion are the agents of peace. We are the agents of love. We are the agents of belonging for all who have lost their way. Let us consciously create an experience of family with our fellow human beings such that even those who do not know us well feel our love. The prayer of St. Francis of Assisi reads this way. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. This is who we are. This is why we were born. As I say, I've run away from home so many times, if not literally, then certainly figuratively. And a few years ago, I finally realized that it is true that wherever you go, there you are. I haven't lived the life that I expected or maybe even wanted, but I am faithful that my life matters, and I lean into the fact that my presence here with you today makes a difference. I trust the universe to put me where I am needed and where I am wanted and makes me welcome. And I know that it's not just here that is making a difference with us being together. It is in the world it is making a difference, us being together here in this moment. Here this morning is where I am at home, not just because you invited me, but also because I declare it so. It is well that I am here. It is well to be at home in this place of worship and communion. Truthfully, I'm still discovering why I was born. And that can be tragic. It can also be wonderful. It's a matter of perspective. If home is where the heart is, then I do well to be where my feet are and open myself to receiving whatever life has to offer, whenever and wherever I am at the time. The world, as we know, can be a harsh, harsh place, especially for those fellow travelers who feel disconnected and disheartened. We are lucky to have each other. Let us recognize our responsibility to keep ourselves and each other centered in love. Let us open our hearts and our hands to our fellow travelers who need our light. Let us not to succumb to cynicism that says, oh, there's just too much to do. I just can't do anymore. We may indeed be the home that some of them are looking for. We're in a world now where we are disconnected from our fellow man more than we have ever been. We're disconnected spiritually and emotionally. We exist in our own philosophical silos that may feel safe, but do little to nurture our human need for connection with each other. We're afraid to be who we truly are, beings of light, agents of God's love on earth. That is who we are. So what then can we do to bring ourselves back home again and again and again? Well, one of the things that we can do is take care of ourselves. We need to take care. Taking care of each of other people is hard work. Being a spiritual warrior, being a truth teller, being a warrior for justice is tiring. And we need to take care of our bodies and eat well and sleep and walk. Our bodies are the temple for our spirit. They contain the wisdom of generations gone before us. And those generations, they know who we are. And the older we get, the wiser we become. Take time to be quiet. Turn away from the media just for a moment and turn towards nature. This beautiful sanctuary, my goodness, I cannot imagine what this looks like when the flowers are in bloom and the trees are full. Those trees and the rocks and the river and the grass, they miss us. We should go there and close our eyes and feel the power of our spirits coming home to rest. Of course, follow your heart. Your heart knows what it feels like to be at home. It knows where home is for you, and it can take you there. The world is filled with brokenhearted people yearning for the day when they will feel at home. We do well to realize how far that we have all come in our journeys and have faith that when we share our stories with others, our light gives them hope for the road ahead of them. 3, do no harm. Do no harm to ourselves as well as to others. When we open our hearts to others, we open ourselves to their pain as well as our own. We should protect ourselves without closing off. Give ourselves time. Be patient with ourselves. Forgive ourselves for the imperfections that naturally come as a result of being a human being. Be gentle. Be loving. Be kind. We indeed can't do it all, but we can do something. And in fact, we are doing so much. Lastly, lean into this beloved community. Home is where we come from, and home is where we are going. One of the joys and privileges of life is having the experience of walking each other home. May we go there together, faithful that when we get there, it will be everything that we need it to be. I'd like to close with the poem by the Persian poet Rumi, which many of you, if not all of you, are probably very familiar with. I think it's a lovely poem. It's called The Guest House. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival. A joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all, even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture. Still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes, because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. Be well. Thank you so much. It's such an honor to be with you this morning. I look forward to speaking with you after the service.
I just want to say this service was very inspirational to me and a reminder of how I can look at this time. So I'll probably be listening to the service a few times. thank you very much.
She's home with me.
I also want to thank you for that service. It was very moving. And first of all, your persona is so calming and soothing. It's just wonderful to listen to you. And yes. Well, that's how I experienced it. But I mean, you addressed, you know, such a wide range of human experiences in such a positive and loving way that it really filled my heart, and I thank you for it.
I too want to thank you very much. It's very inspiring. And I didn't have daily care of my mother, but she lived to be 93 with dementia the last 6 years, and it was not easy. And I can see what you're saying. I had to be there. I had to do what I had to do. And even though I didn't have, as you do, daily care of her, but as I look back, I think it was difficult, but a good experience, and thank you.
Is this working?
How do I? Yeah, come a little closer.
Hello?
There you go.
First of all, sorry for all the runny mascara. I can assure you it's not me being hormonal from pregnancy. It's actually that I was very, very inspired by this talk today. You know, we were talking so much about the honor and the privilege and also the great sacrifices of caregiving for one's parents. And I had to do that twice. I lost my mom at 22, my father at 34. And it was very difficult because impacted into all this. Their complications were due to addiction. And I grew up in a very abusive home. And I did, in fact, literally run away. And I found myself in heart having to go back home to face these responsibilities because they had no one else. And it just really spoke to me today. But I think there's a lot to be said about defining what home means. And I know for me, it's this community, and I know it's also with my husband. And as my soul's been doing a lot of searching for meaning, I ended up becoming a social worker, and I'm a therapist, and I specialize exclusively in complex PTSD and also in grief. But I know my greatest contribution to this sense of home, whatever that means, is in carrying life inside of me. And my pledge to myself has been that I just want to be able to provide stability, love, and patience for my son that I was never able to receive from my parents. But it has been hard, though, because mixed into all this with all the trauma I went through, I do, in fact, miss them very much. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, Will went up and spoke today about this hip replacement for his mother, because we're already dealing with this reality that there's already one set of grandparents who won't be here. So if you could just keep us in our in your prayers, I'd appreciate it. And again, thank you so much for the beautiful talk today. I'm not being hormonal. I'm not one of those people that tells, I'm not like telling Will at 2 a.m. to get me ice cream. I'm not like that.
Yeah.
No, it's just there was so much beauty and empathy in your words today. So thank you.
Hi, I appreciate the you're willing to share such personal things, and it really connected with me also on a lot of levels. Many of you know, my oldest boy was a very troubled child, thrown out of the first grade in special ed and so forth, and ran away at age 16. Did not see for many years, and now he's the son who is the most likely to appreciate having parents, because he didn't for so long. He's the one, my other two take me for granted, but he's the one who will call up and say, oh, Dad, I need advice, and so forth. So, and he's, although he had a trouble as a kid, he's now somebody I can be very proud of. He's a very smart kid, works at Google doing AI, and so he, you know, these things can work out. And on the other side, as far as caring for the parents, my mom had Alzheimer's also, so I've been there. So I appreciate it on many levels.
Bob. Bob, you're so great. So, and you're all great. Thank you so much. I just wanted to say thank you for your loving comments. Thank you. You have contributed to my life greatly. It's all, we never know how we are impacting someone. And so thank you for allowing me to hear, for letting me know that I have made an impact on you this morning. It has been an honor for sure. Thank you.
Thank you.